I want to preach on a message I've entitled, Jesus and the Subject of Worry. Jesus and the Subject of Worry. I'm going to mostly be preaching to Jerry Ross tonight. I heard Lee Robertson introduce a message one time. I never have forgot it. He said, tonight I'm going to be preaching to Lee Robertson because I need to hear what I'm going to say. He said, I hope somebody else here benefits from it, but sometimes I just need to hear myself say some things out loud. So I'm going to be preaching to Jerry Ross and Lee Robertson tonight, and maybe somebody else will relate to this too. I find that I worry too much sometimes. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Okay, you can say it too. Yeah, I do. And then I decide it's wrong and I'm not going to worry, and so I don't worry about it. I'm not worrying about anything. And then I start getting concerned that, you know, what's wrong with me? And I start being worried that I don't worry about things, you know, because maybe I don't care enough. And so it's just amazing how messed up I am. It really is. But we all battled this. We all are going to have times where it just seems like we know. I mean, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares. I mean, we know. I don't think I'm going to say much of anything tonight y'all don't know. I'm not going to say anything tonight that I don't know. But boy, sometimes we just need to hear it. Amen. Let's stand up, if you will, and join me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Heavenly Father, we are going to approach a subject, Lord, that speaks to each of us because it's a very human problem. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, dear God. And I do pray that something will be said tonight. Maybe some things will be said that will settle some things and give a measure of peace, dear God, where perhaps in a part of our life there seems to be turmoil. Lord, we just kind of need to hear this. I think I need to hear it. And I ask, Lord, that you would use this time together, Lord, just to help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One man said this, worrying is like paying interest on money you didn't borrow. Another said, worry never accomplishes anything but wrinkles, which gives you something else to worry about. Another man said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Curtis Hudson said, worry is using today's strength on tomorrow's problems. That's pretty good right there. Bible said, we just read, you know what? Tomorrow will take care of itself. One man gave this sage advice. We probably ought to all follow it. Schedule all your worrying time for a specific half hour right after lunch. Then take a nap during that half hour. Amen. Not only will it cure worry, you know, a half hour nap after lunch just sounds like a good idea. You cannot change the past, but you can run a perfectly good present by worrying about it. How wonderful life would be if we could forget our troubles as easily as we forget our blessings. Well, that's good, isn't it? The little thought we've read here in the scripture that's popped up three different times, take no thought, that phrase literally means don't worry or refuse to be anxious about this. Jesus in this portion of Scripture is going to deal with one of the worst of all human activity, an activity that consumes our productivity and paralyzes us into inactivity. He's going to deal with the problem of worry. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse number 25, and I want you to notice, first of all, the very first word. Now, this is our text, verse 25 down to verse 34, but my dad always said from the pulpit, if you see a therefore in the Scriptures, take a moment and figure out what it's there for. And so, of course, therefore connects this portion of Scripture to what comes before it. And even though this isn't the message, if we look at verse 19 down through verse number 24, and we obey that portion of Scripture, it's amazing how just doing those things eliminates a lot of what we actually worry about. To me, when I read verse 19 through 24, there's three questions that come to my mind. The first one is, where is your heart? The second one is, where are your eyes? And the third one is, who do you serve? If you can answer those questions correctly, when you get down to verse number 25, just adjusting those things and getting clarity in your life in those things kind of help you then obey verse 25 through 34. Where is your heart? Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break down and through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart? The heart seems to follow our investments. The way to direct your heart towards heaven is to invest in eternal things, heavenly things. Wherever you invest, where your investments are, that's where you're directing your heart. That's why you ought to tithe, obey what the Bible says, and give tithes and offerings to your church. If you invest in your church, your heart will be with your church. If you invest in missions, you know what? You're going to be very interested in what's going on in the letters in the foyer. And if you invest your time, however you invest your time, if you'll invest it to produce dividends in heaven, then you know what? Your heart is in the right place because your investments are in the right place. So number one, direct your heart towards heaven. Number two, focus your eyes on what is right. Look at verse 22 and 23. The light of the eye, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And again, it's talking about the eye, and it's talking about light, and it's talking about darkness. So the first question is, where is your heart? The second one is, where are your eyes? You know, if your heart is heavenly and your investments are heavenly, therefore your heart is heavenly, the things of earth grow strangely dim, okay? You're just not as concerned about what's going on down here. You know, folks, listen to me. I don't know what's going to happen in this election, but I'm going to tell you this. There's never been a presidential election that has caused God to have to leave his throne. And you know what? He is still on the throne, young people. He's still on the throne. And so you know what? If our hearts are directed towards heaven, the things of this earth don't seem nearly as important. When your eyes are directed towards light instead of darkness, then it's amazing how that alleviates most of the reasons it seems that we need to worry. Then the last question, who do you serve? No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So where is your heart? Is it directed towards heaven? Where is your eyes? Are they focused on the light? Who do you serve? Have you allowed God to be your master? And if you've done those things, then you can go into verse number 24. Therefore, yes, I've obeyed the Bible in these three areas. And guess what? It's amazing, preacher, how it refocuses how I view everything. And a lot of things that I used to worry so much about just don't seem to be all that important anymore. So I wanted to review that part of the scripture before we get into our main text here. But I believe that many Christians are plagued by worry because they've made unwise decisions concerning their investments, their focus, and their service. If your heart is fixed on the world, and if your eyes are always seeking darkness, and if your service, love, and loyalty is directed in accumulating mammon, let me say this, if that's your condition, then you do have a great reason to worry. You have a great reason to worry. Because the world will melt away, the darkness will taint your soul, and the mammon will be eaten by moths, corrupted by rust, and stolen by thieves. That's what the Bible said. Hey, folks, I'll never forget what Brian Moore said to me one day. We were talking about something he owned, and he kind of shrugged his shoulders, and he said, you didn't say firewood. What did you say? It's just kindling. It's just kindling. And I thought to myself, what is he even talking about? And then I thought, yeah, he's right. I don't know what we all are so worried about and all the things that we have that are so important to us, but you do understand that one of these days this world is going to burn with a fervent heat. And folks, all the things down here is just kindling. It's just going to burn up one of these days. And so why in the world does it possess us? Why in the world are we so fixated on it? So when your heart is fixed on heaven, your eyes are focused on the light, and your service, love, and loyalty is for God and His kingdom, then God responds by providing you with a peace that passeth all understanding. You can start making your way past worry and towards this peace when you begin to answer properly these questions and get a heaven view instead of a temporal view, an eternal view of your situation. God provides you guarantees, promises, assures. God offers to eliminate your need to worry unnecessarily. Now let's take a look at this portion of Scripture, and let's challenge ourselves together tonight to not waste our lives in this matter of worry. Number one, don't waste your life worrying about your needs. Worrying about your needs. That's what we read in verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. So we're talking about our needs. In the first two verses, we're talking about food and worrying about food. And then he points us to the birds. And you know what, folks? I don't think I've ever seen a bird that had a nervous breakdown. I've seen a few of them fly into windows that they didn't realize was there. But they were probably happy right up to the point of impact, you know. They don't seem like they're worried that much. I like springtime because you know what you do? You know, when we've got the windows open, we've been able to sleep with the windows open for a month now. It's been fantastic. And you know what wakes us? The alarm clock doesn't wake us. You know what wakes us out in the country? The songbirds. The songbirds wake us up. And sometimes they're annoyingly loud, especially if they land right outside my window. And I wake up with the burdens and the worries of the world on my shoulder, and I want to holler out the window, what are you so happy about? You know why they're happy and I'm not sometimes? Because they trust in their Heavenly Father. They say, you know, I don't know, what are you going to eat? You don't even know what you're going to eat today. No, and I'm not worried about it. Because my Heavenly Father fed me the day before and fed me the day before and fed me. You know what, folks? You remember on the nastiest, coldest, most ferocious day of wintertime? Remember that? And, you know, I often think to myself, there's nothing out there that can live through this. There's nothing that's going to make it till spring. And yet, you know what? You'll look out on a day like that, and the birds are flying around. And you think, boy, don't we have a wonderful God? And you know what? If He's designed this earth so that He can take proper care of birds, I mean, folks, we're the apple of His eye. We're the crowning glory of His creation. We're made in His image. Don't you think? That's what He's saying. Don't you think you're more important to me than the birds? And then we see in verse number 28, this matter of raiment. When I think it's talking about raiment, I think it's talking about protection. I think it's talking about that which clothes us and also I think provides us shelter. And we begin again to be pointed to nature. And the Bible says, listen, have you considered the lilies of the field? How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, that wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Any man, woman, teen, or child who's decided to live for eternity, focus on the light, serve God alone, will never have to worry about their needs being met. Their needs being met. Consider the instruction. Here it is. This is the God's instruction. Consider the sparrows. Consider the lilies. Considers God's conscious awareness and his compassion and the capability that he possesses to take care of you. If he takes care of the fowls and he clothes the lilies of the field, can't you trust him to take care of one of his own dear children? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8. I want to remind you folks that what the promise is here is concerning our needs. Let me remind you of that, concerning of our needs. God has promised to provide us our needs. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Listen, folks, the problem with this matter of worry in most of us is that, listen, if you don't want to serve the Lord, and you know what? If you don't only want just your needs to be met, listen, I'll serve the Lord, but not just, listen, if the trade-off is just that I get my needs met, I'm not sure about that deal. That's because we have not learned properly this matter of contentment. You know what God's promise to you is? It's a promise concerning your needs. Hey, Americans, we need to hear this. It's a promise concerning your needs. I will feed you. I will see that you have something to drink. I will see that you have raiment, protection from the elements. You know what? That's my promise to you. You know what, folks? I think I said this years ago, but when Nathan and Lauren first got married, and they moved in that huge home that I think Levi and Christina are now occupying, and I watched them start. By the way, when two young people get married, they don't care what kind of house they have. They just want someplace to go away from their parents. That's basically all they're really looking for, is someplace to go away from their parents, okay? Just somewhere to go hide. And so, you know, they moved in that little house. I think it's about 3 feet by 4 feet, something like that. And you know what? Just two kids, happy as a lark. And I was watching that. Now, you know, as they begin to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, obviously that wasn't going to work long term. So, you know, they had to make some adjustments. But I got to thinking about that one day. And I thought, you know, when we start out, it's amazing how content we are with so little. And then over the course of our lives, and I know sometimes even by necessity because of our growing homes, it seems like we need more and want more, and then sometimes we go beyond just the needs, and we just, if we're not careful, we got caught up into it. And by the way, young couples, listen to me. Get rid of this trying to keep up with the Joneses stuff. Get rid of this spirit of covetousness. Stop driving around neighborhoods that have multi-million dollar homes and sitting there and sighing to yourself. But stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Because I want to tell you something. You know, we're not there yet. But as you begin to approach the last half of your life and towards the end of your life, you know what? Most people, most older folks, if they said at the end of my life, I could have a small home that was mine, that was comfortable, that was enough for me and my wife, we'd be happy with that. And you know what? It's funny. It's almost like we start there and we finish there happy. But somewhere in the middle, we get all confused about what's really important. And again, I'm not against anybody bettering themselves, and I understand the circumstances of life change, and sometimes you need to add on. I mean, we did. We had to add on to our house as the family grew and the girls got older. I mean, the only chance I was ever going to have to get into a bathroom was I had to add on to my house at some time, you know. And so I get that. But what God's saying here, I just want a good reminder to all of us, is be careful. Because a lot of our worry is not connected to our needs. A lot of our worry is generated when we lose contentment and we decide that our wants are more important than our needs. And so we begin to make decisions, and a lot of times poor financial decisions, to try to get more than we really need. And next thing you know what comes with that? A whole lot of worry. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm giving you some good advice, young couples. You know what? Just be happy where you're at. I mean that. Be happy where you're at. Enjoy what God has given you. Be thankful for where you're at and what you have. And again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself. But I'm just saying, watch this. Just don't get caught up. You know what the Bible warns us about? being entangled in the affairs of this world. Be careful of entanglement. So don't worry. Spend your life worrying about your needs. God knows what you need. Me and my wife know what it is to barely get by. We know what it is to pray at the times of our life, literally to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I've gone home when we were first starting out and starting in ministry, and I'm not saying this to in any way to make you feel like we were a martyr, but I'm telling you, I have gone home to a lunch and sat down at my table with my wife and kids with saltine crackers and peanut butter. Can I say this? I'm glad. I know what it is to struggle. I know what it is not to have a whole lot. You know what you're going to find out? Some of you that are going through that right now and you're so frustrated. One of these days, I promise you, you're going to look back and see that those were some of the best days of your life. You know what? I mean, folks, when we left the house, we didn't lock the door. Why? If a thief broke into our house, they would have looked around and said, these poor people, they would have went and got something from someone else's house and brought it to our house and left it for us. I mean, come on. And you know what? You remember, you were just kind of happy. You didn't get all caught up in that stuff. And so, you know what? I mean, the good old days when we were living on chicken livers. And by the way, I still like chicken livers. How many of you like chicken livers? Come on now, amen. How many of you hate liver? All right, now keep your hand up if you hate it. How many of you that say you hate it have actually tried it? You can put your hands down. If you can put your hands down if you've actually tried. So all of you with your hands up that you hate liver have, oh, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. Amen. I tried liking the Indianapolis Colts, and it didn't work for me. At least I tried it, you know. I tried it at least. But come on, you've never tried liver. I want you to, listen, get some liver this week. You say, why did you guys eat liver? Did you just really like it? Well, no, it was just really cheap. And every once in a while, it was nice to have meat. Come on now. And what do you do with it? Oh, you get a big pan, a skillet, you get the grease just a popping and about to explode into flames, and then you get that liver and you take some flour and you flop it around in there, and then you sizzle that down in there and deep fry that, flip it over, and then you slice a bunch of onions and lay it all on top of it, put a lid on it, leave it alone for a while, and I'm telling you, man, it's so good it makes you want to slap your grandmother. That's how good it is. That is how good it is. Maybe you shouldn't try it, amen. I mean, green beans and potatoes, a good meal. You mean that's a side? No, that's a good meal. Sometimes green beans and potatoes, just a good meal. You know, biscuits, just biscuits. We've had a meal, just biscuits before. Say, what are you saying? I'm not trying to get anybody to feel sorry for me. Listen, I kind of feel sorry for you if you've never had to live like. I say that. I'm not mad at you. But I'm just saying, you know what? We think we've got to have so much. And the honest truth is, if you really think about how God made the human race, it really doesn't take that much to keep a family going. I mean, it wasn't but two or three generations ago that, you know what, great-grandma and grandpa have 10 acres, 5 acres, and you know what they'd do? They'd work every square foot of it, and every bit of it would produce something. And you know what? Pretty much everything that they raised a family on, they produced right there on that property. And you know what? It's amazing how much happier that generation was than all of us that have so much. Don't waste your life worrying about your needs. God knows what your needs are. He's going to take care of you. Number two, don't waste your life worrying about things you can't change. Now, I like verse number 27. It's easy to rush past that one if you're not careful. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, here's a guy or a gal that's worried about being short. Somebody like Katie McMillan, okay, just worried about being short. Just sitting around fretting about being short. Oh, my goodness sakes, I'm short. I can't. Now, you know what? You can worry the rest of your life, and you cannot worry one more inch of height onto your body. It's just not going to work. And so guess what? There's some things you can't change. Now, this is a great secret to life. That little verse, folks, may be the reason you need to come tonight. You know what we do? We tend to do most of our worrying about things that we cannot change. That we cannot change, you know? Now think about that. I mean, you can take a tape measure, you can measure yourself, and then you can sit there for 24 hours and just try to worry 6 more inches of height, and I promise you the next day you take the tape measure and you're going to be the same height. And you can't change it. Some things you can change. Okay? If I'm worrying about something and I find myself worrying or concerned about it, what I need to do is listen. That's wasted effort the way I look at it. If it's something that I can impact or influence or enact some change in, then what I want to do is stop worrying and start getting busy enacting change. So if it is something you can change, then change it. I said that this morning. You know what? We're way too afraid of change. You know, I just don't like this about me. Is it something you can change? Well, yeah, it really is. Then change it. Then change it. But you know what? There's some things you're going to worry about and not like about. And you know what? You can't change it. Every situation in life, a lot of situations in life that we worry about, you know what? No matter how much you worry about it, it's not going to change. Okay? Somewhere, well, preacher, I'm worried about the weather. Folks, you know what? I cannot change the weather. The weatherman cannot change the weather. Nothing is more ridiculous to me than I'm watching the evening news and the news anchors look over at the weatherman and congratulate him because of the good day that he provided for us. I want them to look over him at the rotten days. If they're going to give him credit, then let's give him blame. And the honest truth is he's just there to report the situation and of course, inaccurately predict the future. I mean, I don't know. Can you change the weather? Then what are you worried about it for? If you're worrying about the things you cannot change, then you're not praying. And if you're not praying about the things you cannot change, then, you know, if you pray about it, you're not worrying. If you're worrying, you're not praying. If you're praying, it'll probably keep you from worrying. Now, let me just have you take a minute, and I want you to isolate in your mind with the Holy Spirit's help some of the things, maybe a short list, 1, 2, 3 things that's just causing you a lot of concern, a lot of worry right now. I want you to really ask yourself this question. Is it in your power to change that? If it's not, then you know what? Pray about it, but you got to stop worrying about it. Now, let me tell you a process that has served me well. Every one of us have our things that we wish we could change, but we can't. And these things, a lot of times, are hard to carry. And so, I've had to learn to do some things. I've had to learn in the morning to go to the Lord and say, Lord, here's something that I'm concerned about, but I can't change. And if I try to carry this all day, Lord, it's not going to be a good day. So I really just need to hand this to you. I need to just kind of cast this care upon you. I need you to carry this for me. So I'm going to talk to you about it for a couple minutes, and I'm going to tell you the desires of my heart, and I'm going to tell you the way I wish things were, and then, Lord, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to let you have it today. And then I'm going to go out, and I'm going to live the rest of my day. Now, folks, listen, if you can't change it, then you just have to cast it. If you can't change it, you have to cast it. And that means you give it to God. And you know what you do? Watch this. You trust him with it. You say, preacher, but I wake up the next morning and the situation hasn't changed. Then you go to him again. And you say, Lord, you know what? Nothing has changed here. And Lord, I can't change it. And so, dear God, it's a concern in my heart. So I'm not going to have a good day if I try to carry it. I can worry about it all day, but that's not going to change it. So I'm going to give it to you again this morning. And Lord, I'm going to trust you with it. Because you know what, folks, listen to me. Listen, who's got the power to bring change into a situation? I don't, you don't most of the time, but God does. And you know what, just learn to give him the things that you, listen, stop trying to carry things that you cannot change. Stop worrying about things you cannot change. Preacher, that's not easy to do. I know it's not easy to do. That's why you've got to go through the mental process. You need to have your prayer time. You need to give it to the Lord. Okay, so don't worry about your needs as a Christian. You know what? God's going to take care of you. Don't waste your life worrying about what you can't change. Give it to the Lord. Cast it to him. Let me give you the third one. Don't waste your life worrying about what you may never face. Now look at verse number 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You say, preacher, I've been thinking, what if this happens tomorrow? What if this happens next week? What if this happens next month? Now watch this. Most of the things that we worry about never happen. Come on, it's true. One man tried to console his worrywart sister. He said, sis, it's a proven fact that 99% of the things we worry about never happen, to which she quickly replied, see, worrying works. Most of the things we worry about never happens. Okay, think about this. There was a pastor, I read this story, and he had a man in his church that worried much, and he went and sought his pastor's advice on this, and he said, I'm worried about this, and what if this happens, and what if this happens, and what if this happens? So the pastor showed up at his house, and he brought him a vase, and he brought him a big sack of marbles, and he said, I want you, every single time you start worrying about something, to go in there and take a marble and put it in the vase. Just take a marble and put it in the vase. I'll be back in a week. The pastor came back in his home a week later, and there was an empty sack and a vase full of marbles. The pastor took the vase full of marbles and dumped them out on the table and picked up a marble and said, what was this worry? What was this worry? And you know what the man said? I haven't got the faintest idea. You know why? Because whatever it was, it didn't happen. Now, stay with me here. I don't know about tomorrow. Isn't that what the songwriter wrote? I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I love this second verse. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver line. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eyes. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. You know, how many of you know the song, God Will Take Care of You? God will take care of you through every day. Let me just have you do something. This week, when something comes heavy upon your heart, by the way, I'm not discounting the fact that many, many people in this church carry real life heartaches. I'm not discounting that at all. But when that comes real heavy on your heart, I want you to think about the song, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And you know what I would like you to do? How many of you are whistlers? You like to whistle? Okay, the whistling group. Whistle that song. And you know what? Whistle that song. Say, around the office area, sometimes people hear me whistling. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a better whistler than I am a singer. It's really isn't saying that much, but I am. I'm very impressed with my whistling ability. Seriously. It's pray for me. It's a little bit of a pride issue in my life, but I'll be back there whistling. I'm like, this is amazing. I've even told my wife, you know what? I ought to just whistle a special in church. Yes, it's that good. It is that good. And I like to whistle. Yeah, my favorite whistler in America is Jerry Ross. I like to whistle. But you know what? A lot of times, if you'll listen to what I'm whistling, you'll probably know a little bit about maybe what's going on in my heart. And you know what I found out? I guess I can worry about it, or I can whistle about it. And I can pick a song that's going to remind me that there's somebody that's got the whole thing under his control. And you know what, folks? The honest truth is there's not a one of us that probably isn't going to stand at the judgment seat and the Lord kind of look at us and say, really? Really? Look at how much of your life you spent in turmoil and tossing and walking the floor and missing opportunities all around you because you were fixated. Come on now. Look at me, son. I mean, now that you see me, do you really think I would have ever let you down? How about that? How about that? So this week, I hope we send out a whole bunch of whistling church members from Blessed Hope Baptist Church and just pick you a song. It doesn't have to be God Will Take Care of You. It doesn't have to be the song I Know Who Holds My Hand. But I'm going to tell you, you ought to just pick a song like that every once in a while when you're having those down times. Just cast your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And you know what? Instead of worrying, spend a little time whistling. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do need your help because this life is a veil of tears. And there are a lot of hard things and hardships and heartaches. And Lord, we need from time to time, and this preacher from time to time needs to just read Matthew chapter number 6 and listen to these red letter words of Jesus Christ as he teaches me about this matter of worry. And I pray, Lord, that these thoughts, Lord, these truths, these precepts, we'll carry them with us throughout the week. And Lord, it will help us, dear God, to live a little bit more than we have been on the victory side. And Lord, we do not discount the situations and we do not discount the heartaches. And Lord, we do thank you for the avenue of prayer. And so, Lord, may we dedicate a larger portion of each of our lives to praying and maybe less about worrying. We pray these things in Jesus' name.